Well, you know, it's Palm Sunday, and we have things that are available for you to use to encourage people, invite people to be a part of what's going on as we celebrate the resurrection next weekend. One is this flyer that I have in my hand. There's a stack of them out on the table as you go out. If you don't find enough of these and you want to take some, we can print more. So you just let us know if you want more of these. Also, last night, somewhere in the midst of the when you went to bed and when you woke up today, Dusty sent out an email that had an invite that you can cut and not cut. You can copy and paste into your own email should you wish, and you can use that to invite people who are on your email address list. If you want one of these in an email, we can do that. We just need you to let us know. So let us know. Put it on your card today. If you got a card, write it on your card. We'll make sure that you get whatever you need in terms of the tools and the resources to let people know that we would love to have them with us. Okay, as we celebrate the resurrection, which is the cornerstone of all that we believe and who we are. Yes. Is it in the bulletin? I can't remember or not. Or if you're like my life group, we'll probably do our outreach arm of our event on Saturday, and then we will be together on Sunday after service. But whatever we can create and come up with that works for your neighborhood, the people of group, that you hang around, that you can partner with to do something. That's what works. Okay. Nothing's more frustrating than trying to work out something in something that doesn't fit your life, right? So if it doesn't fit yours, find something that fits yours, and guess what? It probably fits somebody that's around you too, right? All right. This morning, we are talking about another aspect of what it means to be growing up godly, being more like Jesus. Talked about continuous dialogue with God. We've talked about having a Christ-like character. Last week we talked about having a commitment to community. All those things being a part of what it means to be growing up to be more like Jesus. Today, we're going to talk about humble service. Clearly, it's one of the hallmarks of Jesus' ministry on the face of the planet. You can't talk about Jesus and not talk about His example as a humble servant. So if we're going to be more like Him, that's something that needs to be a part of who we are too. It's a part of growing up, be like Jesus. Nothing is more contrary to our culture than being a humble servant. We have a lip service to the value, but when it comes sometimes to actually enacting and living that in the life of the body, that is not something that is advocated largely in our culture. In our culture, it's about entertaining me. It's about providing things for me, giving me what I want, what I need, and if I don't find it here, I'll just go find it somewhere else. That is the opposite of what it means to be like Jesus. Humble service. If you're not invested in a body of believers, there is no opportunity for you to partner with others to serve other people, because you'll never get that far, that deep in relationships to go to that extent. You will always stay on the surface, and you'll never see life change in your life, and you won't see life change in other people's lives. So today I want to talk about this very important aspect of growing up godly, and that being humble service. We'll go back to our theme verse. Okay, we keep going back to this Ephesians 4 passage, and there's so much that it says. Again, it says, He is the one, talking about Jesus, who gave these gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ, until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. verse 14 through 16. Then we will no longer be like children, forever changing our minds about what we believe because someone has told us something different, or because someone has cleverly lied to us and made the lie sound like the truth. Instead, we will hold to the truth in love, becoming more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. Under His direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. With emphasis on that last statement, it is so very important. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. Humble service. So, let's look at a question for just a second. Skip that slide and go to the next one. I misplaced those two. That's my mistake there. Humble service is a mark of spiritual maturity. Why? Okay, good answer. Others. Okay, it's good. It is a demonstrable thing that we can see in our lives and the lives of other people, that we're not stuck on ourselves, but that we are focusing on others, and that's something we see as being mature. All right? Anything else? Okay. So what would be the difference between humble service and service? Okay, attitude. I am now kneeling on my knees, ready to wash their feet. Or what else? All right. So it's the expectation. Is there going to be some advantage for me? So it keeps going back to, if it's humble, it's not about what I'm going to get out of this. That's part of that core. I agree. And the other part, I think, is also correctly reflected in that there's an element of not even expecting anybody necessarily to see it. Does that make a difference in what we do? Do we do it because we want other people to see it, or do we do it because it's what the Spirit of God drives me out to do? The love of God. I hear what you're saying, and I understand why you would say that. The issue is both of them are biblical. Okay, you can't take humility away from service. You can't do it. But the reality is, there is a difference between false humility and true humility. And I think what you are discussing and what you're bringing up is that we are so flawed that it's easy for us to tick over at times, to tick over from true humility to false humility. And I think a lot of it has to do with the way that we're discipled. Do we have a model in those who have discipled us of true humility, or do we have a model in those who have discipled us of that tinge of false humility? That makes sense? But joy and humility are both biblically attached to Christ's example of service. There's no, you can't take either one of them away. So I hear you. I understand. Well, I agree. It's a complex, and I, you know, as you're going to pick it up, I just went with the one. I went with the example that was the most contra-culture entree. Honestly, in our culture, to truly be humble is not a popular thing. In fact, the world would look at us and go, "You did that just because?" Because they're always looking at people who do things because there's going to be some reward, there's going to be some advantage, so that you can say you did it. You know. It pads the resume. You get the idea? Okay. All right. So now let's take it back to that screen before. Things that I want to say about service. As we look at the Ephesians 4 passage real quick, number one is this, and that is that service demands effort. And it has, and that effort has nothing to do with anything that would give us advantage. Nothing. But it demands effort. which is sometimes not quite popular in our culture, quite frankly. It requires that we go out of our way. It's an imposition, simply by definition. Humble service happens when you do it willingly, joyfully. There you go, Becky. And there is no expectation of recognition or advantage. So, who has served you when they didn't have to? And when they didn't seek to do it? Mm-hmm. Okay. People came in, served you, did the, you know, the toting, the lifting, okay? Didn't expect. Not to mention biscuits and sausage gravy every Sunday morning from Miss Jerry. And all the years of Jerry's kids who have passed through whatever place she was doing, whatever she does. And not many of them come out doing anything more than just loving her to pieces. There you go. Somebody had to make that, right? Spend hours doing that. Truth is, all of us have had people who have served us repeatedly, over and over and over again, in ways that, yeah, which is a never-ending battle. Secondly, service is for others. You can't serve yourself. You can do things for yourself, but you're not serving yourself. So for some, you know, that word that we have in our language, which is self-serving, it was a self-serving act. Well, no, you weren't really serving anybody. You weren't really serving yourself. You're just being self-centered. Service is directed at helping somebody else, and it's for their benefit. We're going to look at a couple of passages in a few minutes that reminds us of that. Third, service strengthens God's people. You see that in Ephesians 4 in that passage very clearly. And the cool thing is, a miraculous thing happens when you humbly serve somebody. It's not just me doing it. Something much greater than you or me doing whatever happens. The entire church gets affected when people humbly serve in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's true whenever you do something for someone inside in the body or something for someone outside the body. You know, it may be as simple as doing something nice for somebody. I'll give you an example. Happened just quite by accident yesterday. One of the guys that Luke plays baseball with, his dad and mom, whenever I got to the baseball field yesterday, were sitting in their truck, and I'm walking, and I get out of my car, and I'm talking to some people, and I walk on by, and I go on down to the field. And I'm talking with a guy that I've coached football with before. And as we're talking, there's a lacrosse game getting ready to go down there on the football field and the baseball field. The boys are getting ready. And this guy passes me with this older lady that I know I don't know and he doesn't know. He saw her getting out of the car and standing in front of her car. He got out of his truck. He said, you know, what are you waiting? She said, I'm waiting on my daughter because I can't carry this whatever seat or whatever it was down to the field so I can go sit. So he said, well, let me take it for you. So he passed us, having picked up, and took all that down to the field for her and came back. He didn't expect. He saw somebody who had a need. She needed help. He figured it out. He did something about it. He wasn't looking for anything. He wasn't wanting someone to say, hey, Bubba, you did a good thing there, bud. He just did it. Whenever we behave that way and we act that way towards one another, and when we act that way towards people, sometimes in unity to pull things off, God gets the glory and the people of God get strengthened. Because we grow together, because the Spirit draws us together, but at the same time the kingdom grows because God's name is glorified. So service strengthens God's people. And the fourth thing is service promotes love. You really know people love you when they do stuff for you and they don't expect anything, right? Or when somebody does something for you anonymously. You ever had that happen? Isn't that rather humbling? That someone love you enough to do something and do it for you, maybe that you didn't even know they were doing it for you, maybe that you didn't... Isn't it just overwhelming? And you know that it's love that's involved in all that. And when those kind of things happen, you just can't help but kind of get teary. I mean, because it's got God's fingerprints all over it. So we see those things about humble service. We see that in Ephesians 4. Now let's look at Mark 10. It's one of the gospel accounts. And here we see that humble service prepares you for leadership in God's kingdom. I know it seems like those two things don't go together, but if you look at a couple of passages, and I know I'm not going to bring this one to you on the screen, but I'm going to go ahead and remind you of it. But if you remember in John's gospel, when Jesus was about to wash their feet at the Passover supper, and Peter refused and said, "Nope, you're not going to do that for me because my boss isn't going to do that." And then Jesus said, "If you don't let me do this, you don't have anything to do with me." And then he says, "Just as I've given you this example, you're going to do this for one another. Because that's what people who follow me do." Now that's the Rick Smith paraphrase version. Okay? So we got that. We know that he said humble service prepares us for leadership in God's kingdom. It does so in a way that nothing else can. And this is one of those values that we have embraced in our congregation as long as I've been a part of it. You don't start out in front of people. There's a reason for that. But here's what Jesus said in Mark 10. So Jesus called them together and said, "You know that in this world kings or tyrants and officials lord it over the people beneath them. But among you it should be quite different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all." Strong words. There is a disconnect in what Jesus said with the world's view of leadership. What's the world's view of leadership? Give me a few adjectives out there, folks. Okay, climbing the corporate ladder. What else? Self-serving. About me. Leadership. Now, remember, we're talking about leadership. Domineering, charismatic, controlling. Ruthless. Wealthy. Okay. All right. Okay. Leadership. It's Ted Turner's lead, follow, or get out of the way, something like that. Okay, that's culture. Culture says the one in charge, the one who's at the top, gets to make the rules. We live with that right now. That's not what Jesus said, though. He said something very different. Humble service reminds you and me who we really are. That's why it is not in the vocabulary of the world and our culture. Because the world and our culture wants to do everything it can to ignore who we really are. Who are we? We are sinners saved by grace. We are broken and we need someone to heal us. We need to remember that we have not made ourselves and that we have been redeemed. And the problem with leadership in the world is that it wants to deny all that and it wants to say, I'm the smartest, I'm the biggest, I'm the toughest, I'm the meanest, I'm the strongest. And that is not who Jesus was. Humble service reminds you and me that we should be willing to do for others what Christ did for us. He served us by giving Himself. He died on the cross. And when you serve and I serve humbly, there is something in ourselves that is willing to die for somebody else. Next slide, John. 1 Peter 4:10 talks about service. But it also couples it with the fact that it's God who gifts you and me and empowers you and me for humble service. So even though we are willing, it is God who is doing it through us and empowering us to do it. You start with verse 10 there. It says, each one of us should use whatever gift we have received to serve others. There's nothing left out. Now, I could use that passage very easily, and I am. I hold this belief that the spiritual gifts that we have been given are not so much given for us as they are given to us for the church. So if you have a gift of teaching, or you have a gift of prophecy, or you have a gift of healing, those gifts are not for you to say, I've got a gift of healing. Makes me feel real good to go use my gift. Okay? It does and it should. But that gift, that mix of gifts that lives and resides within us because of the Holy Spirit is there for us to give to the church. It's not for us to wear as a moniker. Does that make sense? Or, I have the gift of healing. I can't teach 5-year-olds this week because I found out I have the gift of healing. So I know I need to go do healing things. Now that's not saying that you shouldn't do healing things. But it may be that being with those 5-year-olds is going to be a very healing thing. You don't know. You go where God's called you to go. That makes sense? Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. So what does this say about serving humbly? Well, it just said, gifts aren't for you. Your gifts have God written all over them because they're His. And the third is, your gifts are for God's praise and not yours. It's that little "and not yours" that a lot of folks struggle with. Next passage, John. This is one of my, you hear me say it over and again, this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Philippians chapter 2. Just a great place to camp out. Great place to meditate. And as we're talking about humble service today, here in this passage we can find that humble service preserves unity, it stirs up compassion, and it brings joy. He said there to that group of believers, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. Now, again, that's a conditional clause. That if is not so much an if as it is a since. Okay? But that is the way that we translate it. So since all those things are true, then Paul says, make my joy complete by these things. Being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. And that is not a carte blanche to be a busybody. That means to be serving humbly other people so that they grow and become more like Jesus. That's what our service is all about. Our service, when we serve humbly, does transform us to become more like Jesus. But it has the same effect. If it's done in the Spirit, then it has the same effect for those that receive. And that's a miraculous thing. In the meantime, it creates joy. It draws us together. It causes us to be more loving, more thoughtful, more concerned with other people. That's the effect of true humble service that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the last thing that I want to say comes with James chapter 3, verse 13. And this is what it is. Humble service testifies that you understand Jesus. You get it. You understand what He was saying. You understand the way He lived. You get it. You're on the same page. You're with Him. In verse 13 of chapter 3, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." So, we all know that all wisdom comes from God, right? We're not going to argue that. All wisdom comes from God. So, to live the life of humble service then reflects the fact that you are wise. And a life of humble service then demonstrates that you understand what Jesus was all about. So, to serve others humbly is a wise thing that shows you get Jesus. You know a lot of people who don't get Jesus? Have you known a lot of people that don't get Jesus? They would say they're Christians, but they don't get Jesus. How do you know they don't get Jesus? The way they behave, right? And unfortunately, a lot of times it's the way they behave whenever we're all together or when we're in church. Now, we don't want to be those people, do we? I don't want to be those people. I want to have the legacy, and I think you do too, that people look at our lives and they see Jesus. They look at our lives and they say, they understood Jesus. They lived it. That's the only thing that matters, really, when it comes down to it. Whenever you and I go to meet Jesus, it's not going to matter if our church was 3,000 people with 5 or 6 congregations. What's going to matter is, did we serve humbly? Did we speak the truth in love? Did we handle faithfully what was entrusted to us? That's all that's going to matter. All right, so I have a couple of questions. Is it your lifestyle to serve others? Don't answer. Second question, why do you serve others? Third question, how spiritual grown up are you? Really? Here's my challenge. 2 weeks. The week preceding the Resurrection Sunday celebration, the week after the Resurrection Sunday celebration, I challenge you to a season of service. Do three things for somebody that you have absolutely no hope, desire, or intention of ever having anybody know. Now, you may do a lot of other things for people, and that's great. Keep doing them. But find three things you can do for somebody and they'll never know. And then see what God does. You may have heard, I don't know if you've heard this story. I saw it. I can't remember if it was Yahoo. Sometimes I'll read those stories, but it was a great story. I've got to tell you. There's a guy who's got multiple sclerosis. I can't remember his name. It doesn't really matter at this point. He decided, because his life was changing and his resources were becoming different than they had been in his life, that he was going to give money away while he had money. And what he did was he walked into a restaurant and he saw two girls. One was like maybe 11 or 12 and the other one was like 8 or 9, sisters. And he said, "Here's $50. Do something with it that will change the world." So these young ladies thought about it, and somehow, somewhere, they heard about some town in Africa that had recently become Ebola free. You know, they had it ravaged their town, and then they had finally been declared Ebola free. And what these girls did was somehow they either, it was just their money, or they parlayed their money with somebody else. And they got that money to that town, and they had a celebration in the town using the money that they had been given to celebrate the fact that they were no longer dealing with Ebola. And then you see the videos of the celebration. And I don't know how the girls found out who the guy was, but there were people in that town holding cards that were saying thank you to the guy who gave them the money. And the flat wear you out. And you begin to see, because basically that's what he was doing. He was saying he was going to see if he could test the butterfly effect, which is what you do matters. And then those, you see the people in those pictures holding those cards saying thank you, Mark, for giving, you know, and it just, if that doesn't motivate you and touch your heart, then, you know, we need to get CPR going. We're talking about this kind of thing empowered by the God of the universe, who promises that He doesn't waste anything. Do you think He's going to waste your humble service? So what do you think? You could say that. Let's go resurrect some things. Go resurrect some people. Anything that you need to share, because I don't know what else to say. All right, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for loving, caring, saving, sacrificing, and for putting people in my life to serve me. Lord, I want to be better at doing that myself. Lord, I pray that you would use whatever we give you in offering, that, Lord, we might be humble servants who are willing to put into play and into action all that you've entrusted to us. Lord, desiring only to reap an eternal reward for your kingdom, and that your name may receive glory. Lord, whatever you do with with us later is fine. We trust you. Let your love be seen. Pray this in Jesus' name.